T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Trey Edmonds, the catch, sprints out of bounds, and a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown, the Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch, and Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying, and this one is going to end in ugly fashion.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know. But I know it's Bush League. I know he's, you know, total coward move on his part. You know, I get it. I mean, it's okay, though. You know, I'll take it. I'm not going to back down from any bully out there. So,
you know, I know there's scuffles in the game. Tensions fly high. For it to get to a point where a guy to use a helmet as a weapon and hit a guy in the head, uncalled for, I'm all about being competitive. But that'd be one of the stupidest things I ever saw.
And that is exactly right. What a way to start today's show with words from the Steelers defensive captain Cam Hayward breaking down what was a ridiculous scene last night in the Mistake by the Lake, Cleveland, Ohio. The Browns beat the Steelers by 2 touchdowns, won the game on the scoreboard, but lost the respect of millions watching everywhere here in Pittsburgh at First Energy Stadium. Chris Muller. Can't wait to get his thoughts here. He is going to join us on the phone to start today's show. It's just too emotional for Chris, I think, to give a full 4-hour show today, Craig. So I think it was a very smart move today. Impassioned plea by Chris, went to the bosses and said, look, everybody knows about me, my divided loyalties. Grew up in Pittsburgh, big Steelers fan, but also my mother's side of the family in Cleveland. I love those underdog Browns. I believed in the Browns all year. If you put me on the air for 4 hours today, this is Chris talking. He said, I'm going to get fired. Something's going to happen. It's going to get bad. It's going to get ugly, just like it did in Cleveland last night. So how about we compromise? I know the fans are dying to hear what I have to say about this. So let's just do a segment, and then I'll get on my merry way. And I've never heard or seen this done before in radio, Craig, where it's unconventional, it's outside of the box, but I think in Chris's case, it's very smart.
Special talent gets special roles.
Dispensation, right. To get his thoughts in on what happened last night and then get completely out of the way. We're presented by Schaefer and Luana Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. So without any further ado, here is Chris Muller with us today on the telephone line. And Chris is going to give us his thoughts right off the bat. I'm not even going to try to lead the witness here or paint him in a corner. I'm going to let Chris give us his perspective on the suspensions that were handed down a short time ago. Chris, the floor is yours.
Pony, Craig, nice to be on. Glad that the bosses were willing to let me cool off here and just kind of gather myself for one segment. I mean, I think people were expecting I'd come on and gloat, and maybe if it had been a conventional by-the-book 21-7 win for the Browns, I would have come on and said, I told you so. Told you guys not to sell or to buy Mason Rudolph stock yet. I told you not to bury Baker Mayfield stock. But I mean, honestly, what I saw on that field last night with Garrett was one of the most, I think it was unprecedented in sports. Like I was going back through, assaults that have happened. There was the Jose Offman in an independent league baseball game. There's Marty McSorley on Donald Brashear. There's Bertuzzi on Steve Moore. And in terms of the injuries suffered by people in those, they were way more severe. Mason Rudolph sounds like he's fine. Lucky that Garrett hit him with the bottom of the helmet, not the crown, or else he might actually be dead. It felt like a watershed moment. Not that it's going to get repeated or anything, but it's going to be something people talk about for decades. I mean, you're going to be seeing replays of that and have it be discussed as the most infamous play, arguably, in NFL history. Like, I was trying to think, too, we always see those NFL films specials where you've got, like, Jack Lambert spiking a guy after, you know, because he got in on the kicker, or guys stomping with cleats like Albert Haynesworth. This is the worst thing I've seen somebody do on a football field ever, like extra legal, outside the rules. And there are people saying already, I've seen it, it's mostly Browns fans, some other people saying, hey, Mason Rudolph lit this wick here by tugging at Garrett's helmet and twisting it and kicking him in the groin and all that. None of it justifies taking a guy's helmet and trying to bash him over the head with it. I mean, I'm kind of speechless because it should be,
Chris,
it should have been for the Browns. It should have been for the Browns. Hey, we beat this team. We're still alive. And it feels like the outcome of the game is completely an afterthought.
This sounds like a watershed moment for you. This sounds like a man who might be waffling on his affection for the Browns. It sounds like Myles Garrett might be dead to you. It sounds like the Cleveland Barbarians have hit a chord with you. They have struck you. You're a father now. You're an emotional person. You appeal to humanity. It sounds like the Browns in that act last night were so disgusting that it's given you pause.
Well, it's jarring. It's jarring because it's not like something that happens within the semi-normal confines of play. We all expect brutality. Like, I do find it pretty rich that James Harrison's pontificating on this because he came the closest to trying to like weaponize assault in his helmet during like between the whistles of any player I've ever seen. So him pontificating, you know, a clown like O.J. Simpson saying a word about this is absurd. And as far as the Browns, I made my deal with the devil in terms of cheering for a team that brought Kareem Hunt on. That's why I've also thought like the sanctimonious, like Adam Schefter, these breathless one word tweets of assault, like whether that's the case or not. And those McSorley, Bertuzzi, those guys in Canada were charged with assault and convicted. Like Adam Schefter reports on people doing ugly things who happen to be football players who get reinstated by the league. But now this is a bridge too far for Schefter. He should have shut the hell up, honestly. He came off ridiculously hypocritical.
But do you think it's assault? If a hockey stick can be a weapon, then shouldn't a football helmet be one too?
A helmet's a weapon too. A helmet's a weapon. Like, I think McSorley's play, I keep coming back to it because I thought that was the most cowardly one of all. Like, if you were going to actually put this in a court of law, McSorley's is premeditated, from behind, blindsided, total act of cowardice. This would be like in the crime of passion territory in a court of law. But
that's still not an excuse.
I'm not making it an excuse, nor I'm just telling you, I think it would, that's how I look at the two. It's the most despicable act I've seen, like, on a football field that didn't involve, it's just the most despicable act I've seen, because everything else between the whistles you can always explain away as, like, somehow part and parcel with the game.
Chris Mueller on the telephone right now, very smart move. He said, given the animosity and intensity and everything that's out there, the venom, he thought it would be a bad idea to come in today because if he did, it would just rile up Steelers fans even more. And we don't want Chris to get in trouble. We don't want our listeners to get to a point where they're so upset with Chris that it's going to affect our relationship. So good move by him to just do this first segment with us. Chris, I think that as of right now, it is being termed or dubbed an indefinite suspension. It's at least for the rest of the year. And if that's where it ends, if that's all Myles Garrett gets, if it is just the remaining six games of the NFL regular season, and he comes back and he's got a clean slate or is reinstated for the start of next season, then in my opinion, that will not be enough for what we watched last night.
So what, in your opinion, what would be, I guess? And I'm not asking that to be challenging, but I'm saying, like, how do you even put a number cap for people on this kind of an act? And the reason I say that is everything you had ever read, or if anybody's ever read anything about Myles Garrett up until this point, this is like the most out of character.
Who cares?
Not mild mannered, but I know, I'm just telling you, this is not a repeat offender. This is not Richie Incognito or a guy like that with a reputation for being a dirty, vengeful, dangerous player. So how do you put a number cap on it? 16 games? Why not 24? Why not 32? Why not ban him for good?
Okay. I mean, you haven't said anything there that I think is completely out of the question.
Okay, so what would you do? Would you ban him from football forever?
I would start at a season, and if I did not get the amount of contrition that I'm expecting or anticipating from Garrett, then I would not allow him back in the NFL. And I don't say that to try to appeal to Steelers fans. That is not pandering. That was my reaction in the moment last night. You cannot tell me that something that happened in 2006, when the NFL was not the NFL of the 1970s, but still, they were not legislating safety and player safety first like they are today. You can't tell me that what Albert Haynesworth did, stomping on a man's face, is a five-game suspension, and then a decade and a half later, taking a helmet and trying to hit somebody over the head with it, is just one game more significant.
Punitive?
Yes, you can't. It's got to be more than that.
You can make an example of this. Not that I think it would ever happen again, because I thought the Browns, like to a man after the game, acquitted themselves as well as you could by having nobody take his side whatsoever and strongly condemn it. I think you could go a full season's worth of games. McSorley got suspended for what amounted to 20 games, never played in the NHL again, but he was in his late 30s. They gave him an indefinite one. I guess when you say the appropriate amount of contrition, I have no idea like what that looks like. I know he issued a formal apology. I'm sure Rudolph probably doesn't want to or won't accept it, which is fine. That's his prerogative. Like, what does he need to do? So he sits for 16 games, which fine. He's out through the first half of next season. What is he doing for Roger Goodell as far as, like, is he letter writing? Is he, like, going to schools across the country? Is he doing initiatives saying, hey, don't take a guy's helmet off and try to kill him with it? Like, I think that's pretty self-evident that what he did is, like, an outlier, heinous act.
But what do they make people do when they're in
community service? Should he be like cleaning up parks around Greater Cleveland?
I don't know. Like, maybe he should be in anger management classes, Chris. I think any Browns fan, and I'm so happy that you're not doing this, who have tried to relitigate like James Harrison from 2010 over this, or wanted to do the victim shaming, blaming thing with Mason Rudolph, goes to show you what happens when your objectivity when evaluating these things are colored by the teams that you root for. If Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes had been on the receiving end of this, you cannot tell me today that quarterback would have been fined. I don't care what amount of kicking or groin grabbing went on. There's no way that would have happened.
I think that says more about the NFL not disciplining star players when they should, like, because I think...
Well, Garrett's a star, and maybe he'll get off easy here, Chris.
He's not a quarterback, though. Quarterbacks, we know, are held to a different standard in the way that they're protected and everything else. But I think Rudolph deserved to get a fine, at least. And I think if one of the quarterbacks you named had the same role and just was transposed into the situation, I would say same such. Like, they would deserve a fine or whatever Rudolph got. Like,
what if Rudolph had been knocked out? What if he had been struck in the temple and his...
Well, I think it's a good sign that the NFL has suspended him indefinitely, even though he ends up landing...
Okay, Chris, but let's say Rudolph is badly injured and is in the hospital right now. You think the NFL announces a fine for him?
Probably not, because of optics and no other reason.
How about Pouncey? You think he deserved it?
Yeah, I think he deserved it, but I think it's like something that people would have this like dual statement. They would say deserved what he got and also respect him for going to the mat for his quarterback. I mean, kicking a guy when he's down, even if the guy has done like a heinous thing, is not good. But in the context in which he did it, I think it just solidifies his reputation as a guy who
Chris,
not only has Roethlisberger's back, but also has any quarterback.
Chris,
back.
Our boss is coming down the hall. You've got 20 seconds for a final word.
The Browns are still alive in the division. The Steelers are still alive in the playoff race. Well, they're both still alive, but none of that really seems to matter because it feels like no one's going to stop talking about Myles Garrett. So once again, in a big NFL showdown, a division showdown, people are talking about the league for all the wrong reasons.
Chris Muller, ladies and gentlemen, bigger man today. Thank you, Chris.
See you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.